Lord, tonight we come into your presence, and you are the healer. It is you to whom we look, to guide us and to enliven us. Fill us with a lively faith, a faith that will guide us in our decision making, in our business adventures, through our sickness, in our vocations, priestly, single, married. That the faith that we seek will actually be a light in the darkness and be a beacon of hope to those around us, that our faith will inspire others. Blessed Mother, come to us, be with us. We pray together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Please be seated, folks. So it is the Lord who speaks tonight, and so as we gather, those of you smart enough to avoid the talk and go to confession, maybe my talk is your penance. Years ago, I went to the home of a parishioner, and I was quite as startled by the statue that they had. June is the month of the Sacred Heart. You probably remember that. May, we dedicate to Our Lady. July is to the Precious Blood. Every month of the year has this devotion sort of woven through it as Catholics. Anyway, they had this little statue of Our Lady, 8-12 inches high. And it was really kind of a beautiful statue, except there was one problem. Jesus was pointing to his heart, but the heart was kind of rubbed round. It appears that every time Mom, now a Grammy, would walk by the statue, she'd give old Jesus' heart a little shine. It's kind of funny because the heart wasn't really vibrant. It was dulled, if you will, by the hands of this woman as she went in and out of her house and as she did the things that the Lord had called her to do. It was quite a beautiful moment because it spoke so eloquently of a simple woman's faith. Often, sometimes we as Catholics were criticized because of some of the things we do that sometimes just makes us seem sort of idolatrous, right? What's that thing around your neck? Why do you always pray to Mary? What about that statue? What is an eight-inch statue with an invisible heart have to do with faith? Faith, the Catechism tells us, is it's a gift and it must be freely accepted. On the night of the Easter Vigil, I'm privileged to ask those folks that want to be baptized a powerful, powerful, powerful question, a life-changing question. What do you want of God's church? Their answer, we want to be baptized. And what does baptism offer you, right? Faith. And what does faith give you? Eternal life. By three simple statements, they went from being a human person locked in their humanity to a person who enters the Christian life through baptism, to a person who is not limited in the grave, but simply walks through the tomb, so to speak, and enters eternal life. Why is faith so tragically attacked in our culture and in your families? Because faith has incorporated into it three things. Number one, dependence. You're not in charge of yourself. and you never were in charge of yourself. And anybody that tells you or thinks they are, guess what? You're wrong. You've never been in charge. And I don't care whether you're a dad, a mom, a billionaire, a zillionaire. Guess what? We're all going to end up in the same place. Dead. And your money can't get you out of there. So the first thing is, people struggle with fate because it says, well, guess what? My nameplate's off the door. I'm dependent. Number two, it reminds you of your limitations. Not just that you're dependent, but you are limited. What are your answers when there's sickness without faith? What are your answers to your marital struggles without faith? Tell me, will you? What do you say about addiction, depression, chronic illness, bullying, sadness, depression, without faith? Our culture tells you they got an answer. And when folks come into my office, sometimes a faith-filled spouse and the other one, the cynical non-believer, are partially there, like, prove it to me, Father. And I say to them, well, dear sir, what is your answer? Silence. A trip to King's Dominion doesn't solve it. The new car doesn't fix it. You see, faith also reminds you, thanks be to God, of your limitations. You see, faith actually doesn't limit, it actually liberates. You got to get that. Faith doesn't limit, it liberates. I'm glad I'm not in charge, because that means God's in charge and I just got to follow. It means, number two, actually, that I need to be dependent. Dependency is actually a very beautiful thing in relationship to God. It means, you know what? I lean on Him and He leans on me. Go to any Catholic youth conference, and they always sing at the top of their song, that 1970 song, Lean on Me. Why? Because it speaks to the human heart. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. Why? The human heart is drawn to the relational reality of dependency. And thirdly, and thanks be to God for this, is that faith teaches you that you have hope. Remember when Pope Benedict was here not long ago? Those of you that got privileged to go down and sit in the burning sun, you're still probably recovering from the sunburns. The reality is this, we sat in the shade because we're priests. Anyway, but I still got a sunburn. I got the Irish skin, right? And we sat, and he said something. He just talked about faith. He just screamed in the United States, faith, faith. Christ is our hope, faith. I mean, what a necessary reality. What a necessary gift that God has given to us, faith. You know, I have a kid in my school that's got some sickness. And I really admire this family. Because the first day I found out about this sickness, I made an announcement. I said, after one Sunday after all the masses, I anoint all the sick. I say, are you folks with sickness? Hang around up front, I'm going to anoint you. It's like a two-for-one sacrament visit, right? Go to the Mass, get anointed. We have confessions during Mass. So you could actually get three sacraments in one visit, right? What a store. And so the reality is, I said, I'm going to anoint all you big sinners. Those of you that are sick. Anyway, I got this little kiddo in my school sitting there. I'm like, sitting next to Mama Bear. So what are you doing here? Anyway, the little kid had these big alligator teardrops. You know those ones that are like, her eyelashes were flashing in the water. I've never seen that. Those of you that are parents that are flash, flash, flash. I was really distracted. I just kind of wanted to blow them off out of her eyes, right? Come to find out she got some sickness. This little kid comes to my office once a week to be prayed over. So she marches in the first time and she's scared. We're on opposite sides of the room with Mom. We're sizing each other up. Me versus this second grader, right? Anyway, I say, how about if I give you a little blessing? Give her a piece of candy. I win. She likes me after that. The second time she comes back, right? We're ready to go at it. She's looking at me. She's actually looking at me. And I'm like, I know you're looking at me. I'm not looking at her. I'm looking at Mom, but I know she's looking at me, right? I'm getting checked out. And I'm like, hey, I want a blessing. She's like, yeah. So I get the holy oil. I say, it's right up here, honey. This is where I keep the holy oil, and this is where I keep my purple stole. And I put it there. Maybe sometime you can get it for me. I say, come on over, sweetie. I said, let me have your hands. Put your hands here, hon. She puts out a little pause. Father Dan gets the oil, says, God bless you. I say a little prayer. Meanwhile, I've already been praying for her in my office, and anoint her little hands with holy oil. Third visit, we're like old drinking buddies. She's already in my chair, practically. Right? Faith. At the end of the third visit, I said, you want a popsicle? She's like, yeah. Anyway, I have these little popsicles in my office, so I give her one. I said, you want a holy popsicle? I actually bless the popsicle. No one in all of Montgomery County has holy popsicles except this priest. So this little kid goes home to her class, and she's like, I had a holy popsicle. The whole class thinks I'm like the good humor man with holy popsicles. Faith. It's so small. And yet, she's got the faith. We had a healing mass for children last night. Ridiculous. Why do children need to be prayed over? Because the little things begin oppressed and get discouraged and overwhelmed. Where do they get their night terrors? So we prayed over them. 320 people. And I prayed over all those little kiddos, all those little inmates. And I saw her last night after the talk. I didn't even come around the corner, and she was already on top of me, tackling me, giving me a hug. Faith. It's more than just I'm comfortable with the guy in black. Faith. She's become dependent. She realizes she's not in charge, right? And the reality is that she has hope. How come it is Jesus said, let the little children come to me? And at the beginning we say, wow, that's so beautiful. And yet it's painful. I'd like to talk to you though tonight, because when your faith begins to be really life-changing, it begins to be the guide with which you look through everything. It's the prism. If faith is peripheral, you're going to come like spiritually bipolar. Well, I'm going to act like this today, but I'm going to do like this. I can tell my kids not to watch that television show or not to go to that thing on the website, but I can do whatever I want. You really want to have a life-changing faith? Ready? Be consistent. Because the Catholic Christian life, folks, it's so amazing. All you got to do is be consistent. You know, when you have a plant and it's sitting by the window and it's inside your house and you're watering it and the sun's coming, man, that thing just naturally grows. But I take that plant and I stuff it in a closet. I don't care any kind of closet. Deny it sun and deny it water. It's still a plant. It's always going to be a plant. It's never going to be a fire hydrant. It's not going to be a coat. It's not going to be a car tire. It's still a plant. If I want that plant to come back, what do? I give it water and I give it sunlight. It's not a great insight. When your soul is locked in darkness, guess what? It withers. It dies. It bears no fruit. Guess what? Hello? It affects everybody else. Your soul in darkness affects everybody else. You got it? Your soul in darkness affects your mom, your dad, your spouse, your kids, your grandkids, your neighbors, your friends, your parish, your priest, everybody. So don't just say, I can live in darkness, because you can't. That's a lie, and that's what our culture tells you. Because the moment that Father Dan lives in sin is the moment that my parish suffers. That's faith. Faith says, I am not entitled to live alone. Faith says you are dependent. That plant needs somebody to go into that closet, pick it up, put it by the sun, by the window, and give it water. That plant doesn't walk. That plant doesn't get there by itself. That plant doesn't water itself. And neither do you. Neither do you. You never have and you never will. Isn't that amazing? Sorry for the slap in the head. But our culture is telling you, yeah, I'm entitled. I can live and grow and have eternal life. No, you can't. No, you can't. And your kids, if you're not living the faith-filled life, guess what? They're following you into the closet. They're going to follow you into the closet because that's where you are. And they can see you, smell you, taste you, touch you, and be near you. They want to be where mom and dad are. Don't you see that? Mom likes the Packers. The kids like the Packers. It makes sense. Dad's a Wizards fan. The kids are a Wizards fans. Why does that make sense? Because they want to do what you guys do. Isn't that amazing? Your faith is not in isolation. And God gave you kids and grandkids and spouses and neighbors, not so that you can say I'm in isolation. That's ridiculous. You are part of the mystical body of Christ. Your life is not your own. And when you begin to realize that, then here's the amazing thing for those of you with faith. You touch everything you do. No matter where you go, it doesn't matter the animosity. It doesn't matter what you folks expect to be of tonight. Don't invite me back. I'm good. What it says to me is that I know who I am. I'm a child of God with a mission. I am a missionary. And guess what? I'm trying to bring as many people to Jesus as possible. Here's the stinger. Ready? You're either leading them towards Jesus or away from Jesus. You can't sit in the middle. Let me say it again. And this time I'll say it in English. You're either leading them toward Jesus or away from Jesus. Ask yourself which one you're doing right now. You're either leading them toward or away, man. You ain't doing both. Because otherwise you're bipolar and they're going to tear you apart. Which one are you going? Ready? Which one's your spouse doing? Towards Jesus or away from Jesus? I'm not talking about perfect people. I don't like perfect people. I'm talking about the people who are trying to live holy lives. Which one? Away or towards or away? How about your kids? Are they married? Are they leading them towards Jesus? Are they bringing those little grandkids? Are they leading them towards Jesus? Not just stuffing them in a Catholic school and say, teach them, Father. Tell them what to do. Tell them to wear their Catholic school uniform. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not my kid. You form them. You're the formed one supposed to be the educator. It's not me. That's my part-time job. You guys are asking you, do your kids lead them towards or away? Because once you begin to answer that question, then you can ask me the question. Ready? Father Dan, are you leading your parish towards Jesus or away from Jesus? And guess what? If I'm leading them away, I'm not a shepherd. I'm a hireling. And a hireling uses his people. So I'm either a shepherd or a hireling. That's the difference. You see, faith, it's so funny, man. You start talking to people and challenging them, and they start getting fired up because they don't like the challenge. But when you're told the truth, the whole truth, but nothing but the truth, it does settle in. But you know what begins to affect the human heart? Pride. Pride says, you know what? I ain't listening to them. Right now, let's do a temperature. Ready? Here we go. If anybody in the church is unhappy with what I've said so far, there's something called confession. Because I ain't said anything wrong so far. I have said everything in Catholic doctrine so far. I have not said a single controversial thing so far. You might not like my arms moving. Don't look at me. Look at him. But the point is, I find when you tell people the truth, they get all squirrely. They don't want it. And that's a challenge. But it doesn't mean that I need to change or water down the faith because, well, you're not interested. You don't want what can happen to your faith because it changes everything. So I'm going to ask you a question. And spouses, when you get home, if your spouse came watching the kids or they wanted to watch the ball game or something, just say, honey, I got a question. Are you leading them towards Jesus or away from Jesus? That's a great question. Because as a Catholic, I'm supposed to always lead people to Jesus and Jesus to people. And that's a really great thing. Because I'm going to be long dead and people are going to be praying for me and praying in God's house because I led them to Jesus. And once that begins to settle in your heart, then healing begins to take place. Real healing in your human heart. You know, folks, I'll tell you, years ago when I got back from the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, And I was always doing these women's retreats, right? I started out, I've done 15 years of these dogs. I put up for women with women for 15 years in a row in these retreats, and I've survived, right? I am up for canonization, right? And it started out with 20 women, and that was manageable, because I was young and I could box them all and just keep them trapped. Now I'm overrun. There's 250 women at this retreat I do every year, 300. And I'm surrounded, right? And I noticed something so amazing is that a lot of them say there's got to be some healing. I know there's healing in relationships. I know there's healing from sinful pasts. I got that. And I also know that there's folks tonight that have trauma in their lives because of some pain done to you or what have you. But I got to tell you, God made the human body so it kind of corrects itself. Meaning, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying independence. What it means is if I cut myself, some of these things on this hand kind of go through my body and end up here and say, let's stop this bleeding right now. And if I have a broken leg and I got to take some medicine, I don't put it in my leg. I take it through my mouth because my mouth is connected to my throat. And my throat's connected to my esophagus. And I don't know where it goes from there, but it ends up in my leg. In other words, like it's all part of the body of Christ. Imagine if my mouth says, I'm going on boycott. Unless it's for me, I ain't doing it. I ain't taking that medicine. It doesn't taste good. I'm not taking the medicine. I don't care if your arm hurts. I'm not taking the medicine. You'd say, what are you doing, mouth? Open your mouth. Receive the blessing. Receive what's good for you. You know, when you were baptized, you became part of the body of Christ. Your healing is not just for yourself. Your healing isn't just like, oh, well, this is for me. Your healing affects everybody. A Catholic man or woman that's healed affects everything they do. It affects how they go to work. It affects whether they go down to North Carolina with their golf buddies and leave a trail of 20s at the bar. Oh, that's okay. Well, it might be okay, as long as you're not flirting and didn't take off your ring. I mean, these are all the things that people say, well, that's okay. That's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not okay for Father Dan to do it, and it ain't okay for you folks to do it. You see, consistency makes people feel uncomfortable because people get the idea that we think we're better than others. I don't think I'm better than others. I'm just smart enough to put guardrails up in my life. I just know what I can do and what I can't do. Imagine if I have a peanut allergy. Just imagine. And guess where I go to eat? I go to Five Guys every time. And I go to Five Guys every time, and guess what? I have an allergic reaction. You know, you have to bring your EpiPen, and you give me a shot wherever those things go, and I'm like, glad I'm better. Next week or so, let's go out to Five Guys. Same thing happens to me. After three or four times, like, Father, what are you doing? You know what? You're hurting yourself. There's a billion other restaurants in the world. Why do you got to go to Five Guys? Well, I just know Five Guys. I'm familiar with Five Guys. But Five Guys causes you to have this allergic reaction. I know, but I'm just going there anyway. I know people that sin like that. They know they shouldn't go to that TV station. They know they shouldn't go drinking with their buddies. They know this, and they know this, and they know. And you know what? They still go back there. And you know what? They end up choking. And then they say, help me. And I say to them, you just choked your family. Isn't that amazing? You don't choke by yourself. You choke your family. No one chokes by themselves. That's not what our faith teaches us. If I choke, my whole parish at St. Andrew's chokes. Don't you get it? It's bigger than you. It's so much bigger than you that the church says, ready? You are called to be saints. I love that. I love that fact. You know what? You are called to be a saint. And I know that you're not thinking, oh, that's really great. I'm going to have a plate with two eyes on it like St. Lucy, a statue of me. That's going to be really exciting, right? Oh, yeah, I want a picture of Miguel Pro, right? The guy that died in Mexico. Rosary in this hand, crucifix in this way. Vivo Cristo Rey, and he got assassinated. Oh, I look forward to that. I'm talking about the everyday sainthood that the church calls you to do. You are called to be holy people. Isn't that awesome? You're not called to be burdened. And I'll tell you something, and I love this. Why? Ready? Here we go. Why are there midlife crises? Yeah, thought so. How about they lack faith? You stinking want to know why there's no life, midlife crises? Ask, where's your faith, boy? You can't buy your boat, can you? Oh, well, you got a boat. They can't buy a beach house. Can't buy a beach house. Yeah, your kids got zits, and that's why you think they're not beautiful? What's wrong with you? It's no faith. That's why there's a midlife crisis. And when there's no faith, you know what? I'm looking for somebody younger than her. You know what? I'm looking for a different job because I want a bigger nameplate. I want to look at a different floor. You know, the fourth floor is where all the vice presidents go. I'm on the third floor. Fourth floor is going to make me who I am. This is what people live by. Isn't that incredible? And I bet you $5 you know one person that's living like that. $5, and they probably live near you, with you. You can call them on the phone. Isn't that amazing? And why aren't they here? Lack of faith. Oh yeah, they probably got school stuff, and they got this, and they got that. I'm talking about the reality of living the freedom and not being chained to the things of the culture. Recently, I was asked to give a talk to a men's conference. I said, how many of you guys are in midlife crises? I said, you're looking at the wrong guy. I said, I'm 45. I could double book my day. I could easily double book my day. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I wake up, I say, who kept this calendar? And I'm like, oh, I did. Want to know why? Because there's a life there, man. I put my time in the chapel. I said, Lord, you're in charge of this dog. Let's get going. Let's go out and touch souls. I don't answer the phone and say, what parish you're from? How much did you give? What do you need? I said, come on in. Bring it on. But don't show up and ask me to fix your life. I say, fix yourself and I'll guide you. Too many people say, fix me, Father. Fix my marriage. You know what their marriage looks like? Flatline. I said, where you been the last 5 years? Too busy. I said, that's why it's flat. That's why it's flat. Because you watched it die. You watched it die. And you're accountable. Isn't that awesome? I can say that to them. Because you want to know why? They're not foolish. They know that. How can a graduate student, grad guy, not figure that out, man? Signs of the times. If your house is on fire, don't stay in the house. If your marriage is falling apart, do something about it. Holy cow. If I got a lump in my breast and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, I'm like, oh, I guess there's nothing there. Thank God. I'll just put another sweater on. Then I'll put a sweatshirt. Then put an overcoat on. That's how people adjust to it. They approach Christ. As long as I just covered up, it's going to go away. And guess what? Then they look back and they realize, I am so empty. Empty. Right? How many of you know folks that are like empty? There's nothing. And they're unhappy with everything. There is no reason. Here's an extra credit one. You don't have to pay for this. There is no reason why anybody in the church should be unhappy. There's no reason. If you're living your Christian life, there's no reason. You're sick? Guess what, man? Then draw closer to the Lord with that sickness. You got a pain in your back, in your knee, in your elbow, your toe, your teeth falling out. Draw closer to the Lord, man. It is totally up to you. It is totally up to you. Totally. That's why I got a mom in my office now who's smiling. She's not looking at her kid like, woe is me, God is against me. She's looking at my office going, this is great. Hey, honey, ask Father Dan for two blessed popsicles so you can give one to your little sister. It converts. A little girl's faith converts mommy, daddy, grandparents. That's what was there last night. Let me say it again. A sick second grader brought her little sister, mom, dad, grammy, grandpa, grandma, aunt, and uncle to a healing mass for children. It makes no sense. Unless the faith of that kid is trying to heal people. That's what faith does. It heals people. Faith heals people. That's why we're here tonight. That's what we're called to do. Don't you see, folks? There's no reason why you should be burdened. The only reason why you're burdened is because you're making something a god. And you're not stepping out of that burden. I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts, just close it, and then have a renunciation, which I've started doing in my healing masses. You know, when I got back, like I was saying, and I finished that story, when I got back from Mexico, I was doing these healing masks, and all of a sudden, like, people were healing. And I just, like, I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, this is craziness, right? And I was getting all these emails. So, being a good Catholic guy that I was, and all my drinking and partying, I'm like, well, something's wrong. I had to go to an immediate place of doubt. You ever done that? Like, as soon as something beautiful starts happening, it's like, there must be something wrong. They must have interpreted the test wrong, right? Ma'am, you don't have a lump in your breast. Oh, that must have been somebody else's test. We immediately go to a place of doubt. And it only questions faith. And people just go, that can't be true. So anyway, it took me a little bit of time to kind of overcome this doubt. And so I was praying over folks. Bing, bing, bing. And it was great. I was getting called out to do this stuff. And all of a sudden, I was like, I began to doubt. I began to question this whole thing, you know, this whole healing thing. I didn't understand it. So anyway, I was like, well, I'm going to figure this out, right? Like a good guy. I got this thing boxed in. I'm smart enough. I got 2 master's degrees, theology and divinity. I got it. I'll figure this dog out. Guess what? 8 years later, I still ain't got it figured out. I find what questions people's faith is people try to figure it out. Yeah, you can build a building, but you can't believe in God. That's pretty sad. I find people do that all the time. Oh, you know what? I can sell this stock, but you know what? You can't tell me about the Blessed Sacrament. Oh, you know what? I can kick a field goal 50 yards, but I can't trust in what it means to have a devotion to Our Lady. I mean, it's kind of amazing how people just doubt faith. Because if you believe, then you've actually got to change your life. You got to change. So here's a couple of things to think about when it comes to faith. Number one, faith is free. It's a gift, the Catechism says. It's a gift of God, and everybody got it. Your gift and my gift are the same. Bingo. No excuses. Sorry. Your faith and my faith and Mother Teresa's, they're all the same on the day of our baptism. Bingo. Your faith and my faith and, let's see, St. Augustine, St. John Vianney. Oh, let's go with the guy with that little mitts on, Padre Pio. His faith and your faith is all the same on the day of your baptism. What's the difference? They responded. They responded to the gift. They responded to the gift that God gave to them. No one in the church, ready? No excuses. No excuses. Mom can't write an apology. No, you didn't know. Yes, you did. Your faith is the same as the saint's faith on the day of your baptism. But what you do with it and the consistency with which you choose, and you know what? If you want to get those kids to heaven, then give them faith. Don't buy them stuff. Give them faith. Like the real faith. Not the faith they put on, but a consistent, life-giving faith that guides them through their struggles. That's what you need to do. Because guess what? You ain't going to be there when they sin, are you, Mom? You ain't going to be there when they get rejected, are you, Dad? No, you're not. You'll be there for the shrapnel, picking up the pieces. But the only one who's going to be there with them is the Lord. And so what you want to do is you want to ask the Lord, Lord, give me that faith. So the first thing is faith is free. The second thing is that faith is life-changing. Catechism says it gives life. It's so, so, so true. Faith gives life. I was asking our men's group, we have a men's group that meets every Saturday morning, like 50 guys, right? And they're not holy at all. They're like this bunch of swarthy sinners, right? Anyway, they all show up and we talk about God and the Gospels. It's really quite amazing, right? And some of these guys really witness. And one guy said recently, I love this guy, he isn't even baptized. He comes to the men's group, but I hooked him. He said, yeah, I've been baptized. Like, you're getting baptized. I'm going to tackle you and bring you into the pool tomorrow. He's going down. He's already confessed he wants to be a Catholic. I said, yeah, boy. He said, you know what? And this is an amazing thing, just right out of the mouth of this unbaptized cat. He goes, you know what? When I was before I was married to my wife, I had 2 children. One died at 3 months old, SIDS, and the other committed suicide 12 years old, 2 years later. He said, I spent the next 10 years of my life drinking. He said, all of a sudden, I saw the faith of my wife. The faith of my wife, because I married her, she brought me back to the church. Like, look at that lady. That lady just changed some guy's life. She saved a soul. That's better than saving a puppy. She saved this guy's life by her witness of faith. I mean, that's amazing. And I said to her later, I was like, hey, man, I heard you had a huge impact on your husband. She's like, well, I wasn't really trying to. I was just going to Mass. I was just trying to live the life. I was trying to overcome stuff. Every time I blew it, I said, sorry. I went to confession. I prayed. I said, well, that cat just said he wants to be a Catholic. And she jumped up and down and kissed me all over the place, right? I said, yeah. Faith. Faith. Like that guy, he's got eternal life. What do you want of God's church, right? You want to be baptized. What does baptism give you? Faith. What does faith give you? Eternal life. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about where you go to church or where you get your envelopes or where your kid made First Communion. Who cares about that? We're talking about something so much bigger and farther and greater and more powerful than you will ever understand. We're talking about living with God forever in heaven. And you know, want to know what? You were given it as a child. You were given it as a child. You were given this faith as a child. You have it. You have it. You have it. And don't tell me you don't. But the reason how you exercise it is you begin to use it. You got to use those spiritual muscles, man. Otherwise, they're going to atrophy. You look like an old man and you're 20 years old. You got to exercise, exercise, exercise. It doesn't matter whether you're a great lector or cantor. Your life should be converting people. Your life should be converting people. It's like the difference between a homily and a lecture. A lecture is like, hey, thanks a lot. I got the info. A homily converts hearts. A homily says, oh man, were you watching through my kitchen window, Father? That's what I'm talking about. That's the real faith. And a heart that is open, a heart that has faith, I don't care whether the homily's in Chinese or Arabic or Tagalog, you're going to say, man, something's happening in me. And other times, you can talk to people and they are so numb. Numb. Guess where they're going? Midlife crises. That's where they're going. Because they're so interiorly unhappy. And guess what comes up? Pride. You know what? Start puffing up, right? It's all about me. It's all about my kids, right? Start having problem with the aging process. Sorry, I'm losing my hair. Nothing I can do about it, right? Try Mr. Ray's. Doesn't work. It's just the way I'm going, right? Not just looking the way I'm supposed to look. Need a little build up, little puff up, little suck out. You know what? I'm telling you something. I'm telling you, that ain't the answer. I say it with love, man. I totally say it with love. But I'm just trying to drive home a point. There's too many folks that are empty. And it's so painful to watch. Because their faith and their lack of faith is affecting everybody around them. And the third thing, just to kind of bring it to a close, is not only is faith free and not only is it life-giving, but your faith saves you. Your faith saves you. It saves you. Now, I'll close. Not long ago, I think since the last time I was with you folks, my dad died. I was visiting my dad. He was 88. I go to visit him all the time. Work tough day during the day. Let the parish get their money's worth out of me and roll up the gate to Leisure World and bring him communion. Anoint him, right? Give him a popsicle. Give him a little karate chop, right? Tell him I love him. Give him a big smooch, right? I was really affectionate with my old man. We were really close. Anyway, one day, I'll never forget it. I can tell you part of the story, not the whole story. So here's my dad. Like, 1 minute, like, day's dying. Next day, I'm like, I guess he's going to die tomorrow. And I'm, like, on pins and needles. Next day, I go, he's like, hey, how you doing? How was your day? I'm like, what's up with you? Like, you're like Lazarus. I called him Lazarus. I'm like, Lazarus, man, one day you're like in the tomb and one day you're not. He goes, yeah, I don't want to die in January. I look better in February, right? So anyway, February comes around. I'm like, dude, it's the 26th. I'm like, it's either today or tomorrow. He's like, all right, I ain't going in February. I was like, yeah, you're going in February. We were getting an argument about him going in February, right? I was like, you're going in February. And he's like, I ain't going in February. He lasted till March. I'm like, Lazarus, right? At the end of my dad's life, something really beautiful happened. Ready? I would come out and anoint him, and he'd say, "Dan, can you hear my confession? My dad's faith could see beyond his little boy, and he could see the priest in persona Christi." So we'd kick everybody out, and I'd say, "Get out. The old man needs confession." And there an 88-year-old man would whisper to his 45-year-old son and receive the sacramental grace of confession. You know, it's an amazing thing, because without that faith, man, you'd be like, "What is that?" That boy knows the secrets of his dad. Sorry, I forgot. The Lord erases in the sacrament of confession. So something was so amazing. And I'll close. My dying dad's faith inspired me. My dying dad's faith gave me a shot in the arm. He said, "Come on, boy, finish the race." A first grader, second grader shows up in my office, says, "I got a can't sickness," and I give her a holy popsicle. An old man is dying on the deathbed. He's 88, and he inspires. This little kid inspires me, and this old man inspired me. The point is this. There's no time off when you have faith. There's no time off. Whether you're a sick little kid and just running around without front teeth like a little second grader should do, or an old man dying without teeth also, who's inspired me as well. Both inspired. So I want to ask you last question. Are you inspiring anybody in their faith? Are you inspiring? Inspirare. Ready? To breathe into. Expirare. When I breathe into somebody, they have life. That's what we're called to do, folks. I'd ask you now, I love my brother priests. Maybe you have this litany of priests. Could we please kneel? If you can't kneel, you can just stay seated. So anyway, here's the background. So this Cardinal Cushing, if you didn't get a little sheet, raise your hand. Maybe somebody can walk around with the sheet. Gina, can you guys walk around with sheets or somebody? Just raise your hand if you don't have sheets. Any folks in the back, can you bring in the sheets? So keep your hands raised. So you're last January, so that's 18 months ago. I was up in the grotto at Mount St. Mary's. And I was just going up there to pray and get away from my parishioners. Oops, strike that one from the homily, right? So I'm up there praying, making my way around the grotto. I got to tell you a funny story. I used to break into the grotto when I was in the seminary. Like, I used to break into a lot of places, but I found myself breaking into the grotto one night because I wanted to go pray. Anyway, just wanted to bring that public. Anyway. So I'm walking around the seminary, and I'm like, it was early January, it was great, it was cold, no one was there. And I'm, man, I need something in my heart. And honestly, this litany came to my heart. I was like, "Oh man, I just hope I find this litany." So there I am, walking around, and I find this litany. So everywhere I go, I pray this litany. I pray it for priests. Some priests have amazing faith. Some priests have like amazing faith. Faith that converts souls. I think the choir needs copies, right? Do you need copies? Okay. There's, choir should always pray. And so, yeah, so I got this litany, and we've been praying it every time I give a talk or a retreat. It's amazing what this has done for people praying with priests, for priests. Amazing. So I'll do the bold part and you can pray after me, the light part. Well, God, Almighty God, Father, look upon the face of your Son, and for love of him who is eternal high priest, have pity on your priests. Remember, O most compassionate God, they are but weak and frail human beings. Stir up in them the grace of their vocation which is in them, so that they may never do anything in the slightest degree unworthy of their sublime vocation. O Jesus, our eternal high priest, I pray. 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 But above all, I commend to you. 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 Let us pray for the Holy Father. Let us pray for cardinals, archbishops, and bishops. Let us pray for diocesan priests. Let us pray for priests in seminary work. Let us pray for priests in hospital work. Let us pray for priests who are ill. Let us pray for priests in danger. Let us pray for priests who are weak. Let us pray for priests who are poor. Let us pray for priests who are zealous. Let us pray for priests who want to love you. Let us pray for priests who are sad. Let us pray for priests who are worried. Let us pray for priests who are old. Let us pray for priests who are young. Let us pray for priests who are alone. Let us pray for missionary priests. Let us pray for priests who are preachers. Let us pray for priests who direct souls. Let us pray for parish priests. Let us pray for priests and religious who have died. Let us pray for all the church militant and suffering, for all priests, 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 for all priests. For all priests, 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 for all priests. For all priests, 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 for all priests. For all priests, let us pray together, folks. O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us hear our prayers we offer for priests. We ask this through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your protector. Amen. So, as we invite the music ministry, we'll prepare to sing. Invite those men and women involved in helping tonight. Don't forget there's some chairs over here for those of you that need a chance to sit. Deacon Frank and I will just pray over folks. Just come on up and kneel on one of the carpet squares and look at the Blessed Sacrament, okay, folks? I'm going to ask you to come up the middle aisle as we prepare to invoke God's blessing upon you.